This is KUT.
KUT, Austin.
Stop.
As the Texas legislature winds down its session, there's bound to be disappointment on all sides. Only so many bills can get passed, and not everyone is going to like the ones that do. But right now, we're going to hear the story of a law that took decades to come to be, and the Austin woman who was the catalyst for it. KUT's Matt Largy has the story.
Susan Morrison was 2 years old when her dad left.
I knew that he existed because we would get Christmas cards signed Daddy, but we didn't know where he was.
Susan was in San Angelo with her mom, Eleanor, and her brother and sister. Susan was the youngest.
Well, I think there was a longing for him, and we would write letters and send him to an address he was supposed to be living, but we would not get any response to our letters.
Her mom worked hard to keep things together. She had a job at the Air Force Base in San Angelo.
And she was the only college-educated person in that office. And yet she was paid a little bit above minimum wage.
So it was financially, it was tough for you guys.
She lived paycheck to paycheck.
It wasn't until Susan was about 10 that she found out her dad wasn't paying child support. When she asked her mom if she could go to a summer camp.
My mom never said anything derogatory about my father. She didn't want us to have any negative feelings about him. So when she had to say that we couldn't afford it, you know, we asked why. And so she thought at that point we were old enough to know.
Did you blame him at all? Were you angry about it?
Well, maybe. I think I was mostly confused because I thought, we have laws in America. Why are the laws not making him pay?
Now, see, here's a funny thing about Texas. At this point, around 1970, all but a few states allowed court-ordered child support to be taken directly out of someone's paycheck. But not Texas.
Because our state was settled by a lot of debtors that were fleeing from creditors. They wanted to make sure that under no circumstances would anybody's paycheck ever be garnished or money taken out involuntarily.
So they put a ban on any kind of wage garnishing in the state constitution. It's not like no one ever tried to change it. Various lawmakers had tried for years to pass a constitutional amendment to allow garnishing wages for child support, but they all failed. Susan went to college in the late 70s. By that time, non-payment of child support was a huge problem in Texas. 70% of parents who were supposed to pay child support were not.
So when did your interest in the child support law start?
That started with my job at the Capitol. I was working for the Speaker of the House doing the postings for committee meetings.
This was in 1979. She saw there was a hearing for a bill on child support enforcement. She knew what she had to do.
So I went to that hearing on that bill, and I decided to just stand up and testify and tell my story, my family's story.
What did you say when you got up there for the first time?
That my mother was a single mom raising three kids on her own, and that my father was retired military, but he wasn't paying child support. And that it was harmful to families. At that point, my mother had suffered breast cancer. So I think I was doing it for my mom.
Do you remember what the reaction was when you told your story?
Everybody was interested in the room, but it still didn't pass. And so at that point, I said to myself, if it takes my whole life, I'm going to make sure this is done.
Susan headed back to college at UT the next semester. She was taking a class called Legislative Process.
And our job was to pick some legislation that we wanted to see through with our own class voting on it.
She knew exactly which bill to pick, a constitutional amendment to allow garnishing wages for child support.
I was surprised that my professor didn't really want me to focus on that bill because she said it had never passed in her class.
Just like the real legislature, the child support bill never went anywhere. But Susan kept going.
And what I did was build coalitions with like-minded people, and I supported their legislation if it was good, and they supported mine.
Her strategy worked. She rounded up enough votes, and the class passed her bill.
I think that gave me courage to go ahead and work on getting it passed for real.
Susan knew the bill had failed every time it was brought up since 1961. She knew she needed help. She had a friend who worked for Ray Farabee. He was an influential state senator from Wichita Falls. In 1983, Farabee agreed to sponsor the constitutional amendment.
Originally, it was seen as something liberal because it was taking the freedom away from an earner's control over their paycheck. The way Senator Farabee got the more conservative senators on board was to show how fiscally responsible it was.
Basically, Farabee argued that many families were on welfare because one parent wasn't paying child support. Then there was the outside support.
I think by the time the 80s came around, there were enough women in labor unions that were dues-paying members, and probably either they owed child support or they were owed child support, that they were in favor of it, so there wasn't the big push against it this time.
Opposition essentially vanished. Approval in the legislature was nearly unanimous.
Final passage, Secretary, read the caption.
House Joint Resolution 1, amending the Constitution to allow for the assignment of income.
Questions on final passage. Secretary, call the roll.
Blake, Brooks,
it was just Brown, really Whitmer, the time, Williams, I think. It was finally time for it.
Being 27 ayes and 3 noes, House Joint Resolution 1 is finally passed.
Like all state constitutional amendments, it had to be approved by voters. And it was, by a huge margin, in November 1983. Susan called her mom the next day to tell her the news.
Do you remember what you said to her or what she said to you?
She was just so proud. And relieved.
I think.
That it was going to help so many women.
Did you tell her that she was the inspiration for you doing this?
Oh, she knew.
Yeah.
Yeah. We both were very happy. And she lived 3 more months.
While all this was going on, something else was happening, too.
When my dad heard it was going to happen, he got back in touch with us. And it was only the third time we had seen him in my life. And he showed up and said, I want to pay at least some of the money I owe your mom.
The kids weren't kids anymore, but he offered to pay half of what he owed. About $30,000. Susan's mom said yes, the money would be helpful while she was fighting cancer.
It started a relationship where he would come and visit, and he invited us to come visit him.
Her dad, Herbert, lived in New Mexico. His second wife had died. He never had more kids, and he'd recently had a heart attack. Susan guesses he saw his time to get to know his kids was getting short.
Was he supportive of what you were doing with the child support law?
We never really talked about it, other than him saying, I want to pay, will she take half?
So he was obviously aware of it, but you never talked about it.
Right.
He'd write letters. Susan and her siblings would go to reunions with their dad's family, but there was a distance. In 1991, Herbert was diagnosed with prostate cancer. It moved into his bones. He had 6 months to live. He had a big request for Susan. Move to New Mexico to take care of him. She told him she couldn't give up that much.
But I am willing to rent a house, build a ramp, so that when it comes time that you aren't able to walk with a cane, that you can get in and out.
So he moved to Austin, living in the same house with Susan for the first time since she was 2 years old.
It was like living with a stranger, but it was worth it because the hospice people helped me get comfortable with him.
Family and old friends came to visit. She learned about his childhood on the family farm during the Depression, about his time in the Air Force during World War II, his year as a prisoner of war in Germany.
Did you sympathize with your dad after that? I mean, like, learning all the things that he went through, did that change how you felt about, you know, what he did to you and your mom?
Well, I don't really think it excused him, but I think the deprivation made him feel like it just wasn't enough to be a family man. He told me when he was living with me that my dad said, "You know, I always loved you." It's like, no, not really. He said, if I had it to do over, I wouldn't have left my family. So there was a little bit of apology there. But he always had the power to return. For whatever reasons, he didn't.
Susan cared for Herbert for about 7 months before he was too sick to be at home. She was out of town the weekend he died.
My uncle was with him. He said he took him for pie, and he ate his pie and I guess had a heart attack and passed away. So they called me immediately, you know, rushed back to town and sort of said goodbye to him. I think it was his sort of military formalities at the funeral that was the real closure that I felt. Not so much him being gone physically as that experience of the soldiers coming and giving my brother the flag, that was the finality of it.
In the end, Susan says she's forgiven her dad. She's at peace with his absence.
I guess looking back, at the age of 61, I try to live my life being grateful, because if there had been anything that ever happened to my mother, I don't know what would have happened to us, because he wasn't available. We were so lucky that even though she got cancer, she survived 10 years and she kept working. One reason I went to law school was to take care of her. I didn't get to do much of that. And I know she would have been glad that I took care of my dad, because that's how she raised us.
When it comes to child support and what Susan did to help change the law about enforcement, she knows the system isn't perfect. There are still lots of kids in Texas who aren't getting the financial support they deserve from one of their parents. But Susan hopes it's helping at least some kids have a more secure childhood than she did.
There's nothing better than a child feeling like both parents care. So that's what I'm hoping that child support enforcement across the state does, is communicate that to the kids.
Matt Largie, KUT News.